Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to the Gift of Life show. This is Mama T. Hey, I hope you had a good holiday dinner with your family. We did. Pop and I, we went and fed the homeless. We shared our meal with the homeless. And, you know, I love doing that because I think it's because I think about the golden rule and Matthew 7:12 that basically says, would you do unto others what you would have them to do unto you? And then I think it could be me out there. It really could have been, but it's not, by the grace of God. And then I think also too, when Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And what you haven't done to the least of these, you haven't done to me. That's in Matthew 23. He talks about that. And so I love knowing that when I'm doing this, when Pop and I are doing this together, or we just get a group of people together, we are actually feeding, clothing, and giving drink and money to people, but we're really doing it to Jesus and God. Isn't that beautiful? It's just exciting to know that. Hallelujah. So anyway, that's what we did. So I'm hoping that you had a great time. And now I'm going to get right on into our series. Now, I'm studying from Tony Evans' book, God Cannot Be Trusted and Five Other Lies of Satan. Now, I've already gone over the first two lies. You can go at www.lovebyexample.com and you can scroll on or click on you click on radio, and then you should be able to see they're all named there. And I have each one lie in three parts. So the first lie was Satan does not exist. God is holding out on you. And now we're on God cannot be trusted. This is part two. Now, I'm not going to review. You got to go back and listen to them. Otherwise, we'll make this into six parts. But let me just read from Tony's book where I left off last time and just comment as we go. He says, now, we have a choice and decision that we need to make. And he says, basically, believing God is just half of it. We have to add faith to our profession, basically. He says, but there's more to faith than just simply agreeing with God that his word can be trusted. We must put some kind of action behind that faith. Jesus defined that action when he told a group of his disciples, if you abide in my word and my you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:31-32. He says, let's turn that around. If you don't know the truth, God's word, then you will be in bondage. He says, a lot of believers are seriously in bondage today. They receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they do their best to live the way God wants them to. But Satan has a field day with them, keeping them in mental, emotional, and spiritual chains. He says, because while they may acknowledge the power and the truth of God's word, their actions say that they bought into Satan's lie, that the word cannot be trusted. He says, when Jesus told his disciples to abide in his word, he meant that they are to hold on to it, to make it part of their being. So to have faith in every word is true and it is profitable for them. And you know what? I thought about that. The word, you know, there's many words in the scriptures that are true to me, but one of them is a 1 Peter 1:23. And if anybody's listening, they know what I'm getting ready to say if they know me. And that's because it reminds me of this seed, a peach seed that I have around my neck. It's a corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed from 1 Peter 3:23 reminds me that I have been born again. I am a new person. I'm learning to live from the spiritual realm, from the Holy Spirit, and depending on the Spirit. It's called a newness of life. It's like living from a resurrection lifestyle now. I don't see things just from the earthly realm anymore. I have set my affections on things above, and I live from that heavenly realm. This seed reminds me of that. And then I also have Romans and all of Ephesians, but I have Romans 6:6 that reminds me that the old Tony is dead, buried, and gone. The old selfish Tony. The old me, myself, and I is gone, but there's a new Tony in Christ Jesus. And then I know in Romans 6:11, I consider myself to be dead indeed to sin and Satan and sickness and poverty and lack and depression and the law, leave the curse of the law. I'm dead to all that. And I'm alive to God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Then I learn how to perform. These are all my four P's. That's the power that I live in. And then I learn how to perform from my new position and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the way I do that, I wax off, wax on. I renew my mind. I choose not to let sin reign in my mortal body, that I should obey it in its lust. I choose to yield to God in His righteousness. And then I get to stop trying to earn my way to God, because the wages of sin is death. See, wages, it means that you earn something, you're due something you work for to get. Well, I'm not getting no more death. I'm not getting that. It says, I have the gift of life in Jesus Christ. So it's the difference between something earned that you have to work for versus a gift. So I take those verses to heart. I really believe that's who I am. And I love feeding the homeless. I love sharing the word of God. I love doing the show because this is what I'm wired for. And I believe when you find out who you really are in Christ, your new identity, and that's what my new book is about. Do you see what I see? That's what our CUBU conference is going to be all about. Really diving deep. Proverbs 25, it says that the heart of a person, or the intents of a person, the desires of the person, or the purpose of a person is like deep water. And when those who understand that, basically believe that, they draw it out. We want to help people to draw out who they really are as believers in Christ Jesus. We want them to draw that out to see who they are so they can experience an intimate, personal, beautiful relationship with God, their Creator God, through Christ Jesus. And that's what we're all about. And that's what I love doing. And I'm so thankful to God. I'm so thankful that He has called me for this task. And I finally can see now. Hallelujah. That's why I named my book, Do You See What I See? And that's what we're all about. And if we can help you in that area, to learn who you are in Christ and answer those questions that's in my book on page 17, who you are, why you're here, what you're supposed to do, what's your purpose, what's your destiny, what's your passion that God has given you, because only you can do that. Well, I want to help you discover that. And the way we can do that is expose the work of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, which is the enemy who wants to blind, steal, kill, and destroy that purpose. We want to expose his lies. And that's why I love talking about how we think, because it all starts with us choosing God or choosing Satan, just like Adam and Eve did, just like Abel and Cain did. And if you choose God, life, from the tree of life, you're going to get life. That's the byproduct. You choose from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess what? You're going to get good and evil mixed with it. But it leads to death because he says you'll die. So this is what we're all about. This is what Tony Evans is all about. That's why I love reading from this booklet and from his books. They're so good. So he says the first thing we need to know about God and consider in our mind that God is absolutely 100% outside the nature of lying. Hebrews 6:18. It's not even in his nature. He says taking God at his word requires one thing extra, faith. He says I'm not going to talk theologically about this, but faith is right there in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith in Christ, in God, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I love this Mark 11:22, which probably some of you know that, but it's so beautiful. It's Mark 11 right here, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have what he says. See, you will have what you say. You can have faith in Satan. You can have faith in sin. Faith in law keeping. You can believe that and do that, but it's going to lead to death. Look what Thomas said. This is one of Jesus' top-notch disciples. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, this is after the resurrection, after Jesus had appeared to some of his disciples. Thomas wasn't there, so they told Thomas when he came in, we have seen the Lord. And look what Thomas says. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Thomas, except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Right there. That's probably where he got that name, Doubting Thomas. See, he chose not to believe. We have the power to choose life or death, blessings or cursing. And God says in Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life so you and your families can live. Because our choices affect people that are around us down to generations. Okay? And I love Psalms 91. This is the place where I'm just using this as the foundation of this series for me personally and for you too, bless your heart. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. With only my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even my Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. I love this. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings he shall make refuge. I shall make refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. And just goes on and on and on. Says basically, I will trust the Lord. Right here it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. I love that song. So I've chosen to trust God. And that, like I said, the scriptures that I just believe in, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 23, and those Romans that I shared, I just choose to believe that's who I really am. So I'm in the process of digging with that Proverbs 25, digging deep into this deep, deep treasure, this deep reservoir of who Christ is and my new identity that's joint heir with him. I need to know who I am in Christ so I can be about the master's business. So he says, faith means that you don't, faith is having faith in something that you cannot see. Now, see, Thomas said, if I don't see. So he wasn't exercising faith in God. He was exercising faith in what he said he had to see. Well, that's not faith, okay? Father says, in my house there are many mansions. He said, if there weren't so, I wouldn't have told you so. And he says, he's going to come back and get us. We've never seen that before. We haven't seen heaven before. We haven't seen God before. We haven't seen Jesus before. We haven't seen Satan that I'm talking about. We haven't seen, but we just believe. And we act as if we do. So as the old adage says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And he says, if I didn't believe God's word, I would have no confidence in heaven or anything else he promised. I know that unless Jesus returns the next decade, I'm going to die. But I'm not afraid to die because I know that death means that that'll usher me into the presence of my Heavenly Father. Wow, isn't that beautiful? What faith, what faith. Hallelujah. When we settle in our hearts and minds that God's word can be trusted, we solve a lot of problems in our lives. We believe that he will provide for us, he will guide us, and he loves us everlasting love with everlasting love, and we have an eternal home with him. We know these things by faith, and when we know the substance and the character of the promises from God, our faith is real in a real God, and he has real promises. We can't have faith in promises of an Easter bunny, he says, or a Santa Claus, because neither one of them are real. However, our God is real, and we can believe his word every single bit of it. Isn't that beautiful? And I love that, well, we're getting ready to come to that, at 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, now let's take a look at how effectively we can counter Satan's lies and know that we can trust God's word. He says, God's word is a weapon. Apostle Paul told Timothy, all scriptures breathe out of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Now, righteousness means training in resurrection life, okay? We've never lived that before. We can't live the resurrection life. We can't live as we're walking as people alive from the dead. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's the second P. The man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Then he goes on and says, in the book of Ephesians, Tony brings up about the armor of God. And I have that in my book, Do You See What I See? And on page 28, and it says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Putting on the armor of God is putting on Christ. Putting on Christ is like taking off an old coat and putting on a brand new coat. Or taking off an old raggedy dress, which is the old self, and putting on a new one and strutting around and showing everybody about it. That's what that is. He says, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil's going to tell you the opposite, like he told Eve. You know, Eve, God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or you'll die. And then he said, you can eat from every tree in the garden freely. Well, when in Genesis 3, Satan said, no, has God really said that you couldn't eat from this tree? And then Eve messed up the answer. And then Satan says, you won't surely die. See, so he's attacking God's word. And you got to come to terms with yourself. Who are you going to believe? He says, those are the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against people, flesh and blood, People are not our enemies, brothers and sisters. They're just used by the enemy. You got to understand that. And I talked about that in earlier broadcast. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. See all those against? That's what we fight against. Therefore, we take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil days, having done stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or all the lies, all the toxic thoughts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayers and supplication, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Look at that. Finally, Paul says that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, Tony says. He says every piece of the full armor of God, except for one, is a defensive implement meant to help us ward off the attacks of the devil. Paul refers to the word of God as a sword and a weapon of offense. That tells us that we need to go on the offense. Look at that. Not the defense, on the offense against the devil. And we do this with the word of God. The devil is the most intelligent of all creatures beings, so he isn't afraid of our intellect, our wisdom, or our life experience. He's also not afraid of our influence or our power or gifts or abilities. You can impress or intimidate the devil on your own, but there is one weapon at our disposal that he is absolutely can't handle, and that is the word of God. But how do we use the word of God as a weapon? And he's going to take us in Matthew 4 as an example where it says, it is written. And I'm going to stop there because that'll be our third session on God can't be trusted. Now, let me just say something about this offense and defense weapon. When I was in the martial arts, and I still remember it, and God's helped me to use a lot of these as illustrations, one of the things that my teacher taught me was that offense was your best defense. So basically, she was saying, when you get ready to spar and you get ready to practice sparring or actually in a tournament or if you're in a real life situation, don't run. Don't run. Now, human nature says to run. And even they tell you if you run up against a grizzly bear, don't run. Either play dead or act like you're bigger than him and roar at him. But don't run. Whatever you do, don't run. And so our teacher taught us not to run. And so she showed us a lot of offense techniques. And most of them were fake ones. Like if I wanted to get a punch, see if you hit to the head or aimed at the head and you were able to score, well, what you had to do before you could do that, especially if your opponent was taller than you, you had to use a lot of fakes. And so you had to get down a lot of techniques that were fake techniques. So I could always take my left hand and I could act like I was going to hit to the left side of my opponent with my hand and then have them block that. And while they're blocking that, I could attack on the right side of their head. And or I could do a back fist to the chin, and I could actually do a ridge hand to the top of the head. Those of you who took martial arts, you'll know what I'm talking about. Or I could fake and act like I was going to hit up high and then drop down low and do a sweep and sweep a person off their feet and then score by doing some kind of kick. So this is what Satan loves to do. He wants us to be on the defense so he can be on the offense. But the sword of the Spirit is for us to be on the offense. So that means now we don't go running around chasing demons, trying to find demons and all that. No, you're just on the offense. And the reason you're on the offense is because you got the word of God in you. For instance, when we went out and fed the homeless, we were being on the offense. We took the initiative. Our faith was in action. And we went out there. Nobody got hurt. Nothing happened. We just shared a lot of love. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to happen in every case because every situation is always different and people are different. But the point is, I believe what God is saying, we need to sharpen our sword. Our sword, our arsenal in the Word of God, we need to have enough faith, that shield of faith up in us, which is the Word, the Word, the Word. We need to have the Word of God in us. And in my book, if you get my book, Do You See What I See? I'm telling you, this is the best book ever. It ranks up there with all the other ones. God wrote it. But in my book, in chapter 3, I have a plan called the 3M plans, and it is a plan to help you develop memorizing scriptures. You must memorize scriptures. Now, I've heard every excuse in the whole wide world why people can't memorize scriptures, but those are just lies because God wired us to memorize scriptures. Remember, I quoted those statistics a while back that we have over 3 million years? This is our brain now. Our brain is able to hold over 3 million years worth of storage space for us to memorize God's word. So there's really no excuse why we can't memorize God's word, because that's why he created us to hide the word in our heart, in our minds. And our brain is wired, has all the material that it needs, all the technology that it needs, all the hormones that it needs and the chemicals and everything. It has everything it needs to hold the word of God in our mind. That's why God has given us his word. We got to hide it deep in our hearts so we won't sin against him. And running from the devil, not doing what you know you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it, is sinning. It really is. And when you sin, you are yielding to the enemy, and he is clouding your vision in darkness. And remember, I said he masquerades himself. So you're not going to come in like with a devil with a pitchfork and horns and a big long red tail with a fork on the end. He's not going to come in scary like that. He's going to come in very subtle. The wiles, the methods are going to come in very subtle, and they come in the form of all kinds of areas like religion, education, science. They come in all kinds of form. But if you're not in the truth and you have that, you can stand up and articulate the word of God that gives a good defense for who you believe, then you're on the defense. And God wants us to be on the offense. He wants us to be able not to run from the devil, not to run from lies, not to run from fear, not to run from anger, but to face it. Face it. The world tells you to face your fears, face your angers, but you're going to face them in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to face them in your own philosophical ways or the way of different organizations tell you what you need to do and how you need to do it. Paul tells us not to do that. He tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and 3, don't chase after world philosophies. Don't chase after legalism. Don't chase after carnality and worldly puffed up ideologies. But chase after who you are in Christ and his power and passion that he's put in you through your spiritual gifts. Then perform from there. See, when you're studying the word of God and you get that word of God in you and you memorize, right here it says on page 1010, you memorize the word of God, then you meditate on it. That's when you ponder on it. That's at Ephesians 1. You pray that prayer, Ephesians 1, that God will open up your eyes so you can see that there's more with you than against you, like Elijah's servant in 1 Kings 6. So you'll see that there's more with you, and that you're not alone, that God is there, right there with you, waiting for you to let him work through you and not be like doubting Thomas, not be turned to and fro and not being tossed back and forth, double-minded, you know. And then you'll be praying the way God wants you to pray. You won't be like what James says in chapter 4. You're not getting your answer prayers because you're praying amiss. You're praying on your selfish ways. You're praying on your selfish mode. You're praying from the flesh. You need to pray from the Spirit. That comes through meditating, and the Spirit of God will illuminate, open your eyes for you to see. And then you'll start mouthing it. That's the plan. 3 M's. With your 4 P's, your position, power, and then performance in the presence of God working in you, then you go into your wax on mode, the renewing of the mind, and not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, test what is good, discern what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for you. Isn't that beautiful for you? Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. And then you'll start mouthing it. You'll mouth it. So you got to first memorize it, meditate it, and then mouth on it. And when you start doing that and allowing these 3 M's, they will begin to help you to be still, allow the healing power from the verses that you're memorizing. And instead of being a Martha running around left and right and all busy and stuff, you'll be more like Mary in Luke 10. You'll be at the master's feet. You'll choose the better thing. That's what Jesus told Martha when she was so concerned because Mary wasn't in the kitchen being busy like her, being distracted from the word of God right there. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. And we can do this together. You can email me, text me, call me. I love helping people get closer to God by getting closer to who they are in Christ. And that's the only way you can really trust God. I love that. God's word says that there is no weapon that is formed against us that will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, he shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is in him, says the Lord. See, there's no weapon that Satan has that can come against us. The only reason that Satan is coming against us and toxic thoughts are lingering in our mind and controlling us is because we're not believing God's word and waxing off and waxing on. Brothers and sisters, I want you to trust God. I want you to believe that he loves you and he's got a plan for you. But you have to make that choice. As much as I want to see that happen for you, as much as I believe that it can happen, I wish I could just like grab you right here and grab you through the radio station, just pull you in here. But God, that's not how it works. It has to be where you choose. So we're going to look at the last episode in Matthew 4, and I'm going to break it down a little bit, how Jesus used the Word of God, gave us the perfect example by just saying, it is written. Hey, trust God. Trust him. He loves you, and he's calling you today to choose life and live. Love you.
A day nor time, you never left my side. No, no. When I cried at night from a broken heart, you lifted all the pain. Unemployed, fighting survival, you met my every need. And I would tell of all your goodness.
I've been through it all, and I've learned to trust in you. In spite of all my trials that come, I trust you. I've been through it all, and I've learned to trust in you. In spite of all my trials that come, I trust you. Oh Lord, you know my destiny and the road I'm gonna take. No weapon formed shall prosper. I know you're there all the way. For you're the lover of my soul and the reason I'm made whole. I adore you. I've been through it all, and I've learned to trust in you. In spite of all my trials that come, I trust you. I've been through it all, and I've learned to trust in you. In spite of all my trials that come, I trust you. You are the lover of my soul, and the reason why I'm your name. I wanna worship you, Lord. You're worthy of all my praise. Oh, praise. Wanna thank you for my life, for giving me another chance. I'm gonna show you I love you so.